Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time, leading up to the season three premiere on June 27th, 2020. We are going through every episode of season one and season two on a rewatch to discuss them and get caught up before that new season starts. And once the new season starts, then we will go to recapping each episode without any future knowledge. For this episode, we are talking about episode number seven, titled Crossroads. My name is Zach Brooks. I am joined by the Peter to my Helge, Aaron Brooks.
That's I'm not sure if that one works, but okay. Good connection. To be here.
Yeah. At least I made you Peter and I'm Helge. I'd rather be Peter than Helge.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a real horse race there. Good to be back. Good to be back with a more traditional, I guess, in the sense of word, Dark episode here.
Yeah,
I
have four non-traditional four pages for every other show, but traditional for Dark, yes.
Yep. And Crossroads, my eyes were on all of the intersections in this episode.
Oh, mine weren't at all, so that's good.
And so definitely different than the Britney Spears feature debut, Crossroads, I believe it was called.
If we had to power rank Crossroads, the song, the movie, and the TV episode, I guess you'd put the episode first, the song second, and the movie third?
Yeah, sure, we'll say that. I don't want to, you know, disappoint any fan. I think more fans, there are more Dark fans than Crossroads fans here, so sure, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we are going to talk about everything as it relates to the whole series through the end of season two. So if you have not watched all the way through season two, pause this podcast, go watch the whole series, and then start our series. I don't know if there's anybody who's with us that has not watched, but spoiler warning.
There's one. At least one.
That's quite the TV watching time loop that we have for that person.
Yeah, it's, if they don't understand an aspect of this, they know at some point in the future, maybe they will.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like us, I guess. All right. So, and of course, you can subscribe to Digesting Dark on any podcast platform. As of this morning, we are finally on Apple Podcasts. So if you're one of those people with an iPod, then you can subscribe through your Apple Podcasts /iTunes account now. So definitely do that so you know when new episodes come out, because we're going to be dropping a bunch of episodes between today, June 8th, and the premiere of season three, June 27th, and then the days after that season three comes out.
And if you're listening on your iPod, go back through that time loop that you came through in 2007.
Yeah, 2007. I think iPods were even a little, I guess I still had an iPod until like 2011, probably.
Yeah.
You know, they served a purpose. So, indeed. All right. So this, as we said, is a more traditional episode of Dark. We get multiple time periods in this one. So we're still trying to figure out the best way to recap these episodes. It might change on an episode by episode basis. Mm-hmm. But this one, I think it probably makes sense to go through the 80s, then go through the 2019 time period, just because otherwise we'd be jumping back and forth so much.
Okay.
But overall, I thought they did a really good job of pairing up scenes from the 80s with scenes from 2019.
Yeah.
We would see Egon investigating something, and then we would cut to Charlotte investigating something. Or we would see it raining in 2019, and we'd see it raining in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Another part was the power plant as well. We saw the power plant in 2019 and the power plant in 1986 paired together. So I thought that's a really great thing that Dark does. It's also Lost does something similar, but not quite as much as they do on Dark, where mm-hmm. it really ties together.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, and within the 80s, let's just kind of go by the characters instead of scene by scene. So, you know, the 80s, we're really kind of following Jonas. That's the big story. So I think let's talk about Jonas as he's in the 80s, and then we can kind of hop over to some of the other characters that we have, Helge and Egon and Mikkel as well.
Yep.
So, all right. So we start the 80s with Jonas in that treehouse. Of course, the episode opens with a bunch of really quick shots of lots of people. We see young Helge in the bunker, and this is like young Helge that we're going to meet in an episode or two. And I believe that bunker is in the 80s, although I'm not quite sure when the bunker with the wallpaper is. Is that the 80s?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the 80s because they're playing You Spin Me Right Round on the video when Eric's in there.
So the very last scene of the episode when we see Noah in there cleaning the floor, is he cleaning, like, what year is he cleaning the floor in? Is that like the 50s that he's cleaning the floor in?
I think he was preparing it at that point. That's why he's like scrubbing it down. Like,
well, because I thought he's scrubbing it down because there was a body in there.
Yeah, but I don't know, honestly. I got the impression that he was preparing the room because they really focused on him scrubbing it down.
Yeah, they definitely did. Fair. I thought that was because he was cleaning the blood from the kid that they were pulling out, but maybe you're right. Maybe, I mean, it could have been both.
Yeah.
He's also writing dates on the wall.
Yep.
Including
November 5th and November 9th.
Right.
And then a few times.
And I guess those are the dates that that kids are getting sent back to, because this episode does take place on November 9th of 2019 and November 9th of 1986. So I guess if this was November 9th, 1953, he's writing on the wall when kids are getting sent back. So that could make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So, yeah. So we see a shot of the bunker. We see young Helge. We see old Helge saying he remembers everything. Of course, we know what he's remembering. And we will get a tease of this, is that Ulrich was the one to attack him back when he was a child. Mm-hmm. Then we see young Helge, we see young Ulrich in a jail cell. We see Egon looking in. We see old Ulrich visiting Mads's grave with the action figure on it. We
yep.
see Mikkel looking at a picture, which we know is the tattoo on the back of Noah. It is the Sigmundes. I don't know what it is, like their kind of prophecy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, so now we're finally getting to the 80s. Then we get Jonas in the 80s treehouse. So Jonas leaves the treehouse. I don't think we've seen this treehouse before or anything similar to this. Is this anything we're familiar with?
Yeah, no, I think the treehouse plays a factor in the future as well.
Okay, like the treehouse of horrors, but.
Yeah, so, but no, this is our first time seeing it, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So then Jonas goes to the school. Mm-hmm. He sticks out because he's got that bright yellow jacket and that's raining.
The doors aren't as yellow.
Nope, so. They aren't. I kind of have a theory with the colors that I want to get to once we get to the hospital.
Okay.
So Jonas is at the school, and as he's walking in, it's like a, you know, it's like a traditional 80s scene where we've got I Ran So Far Away. I believe that's Flock of Seagulls that sings that song.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so more birds. Charlotte probably loves Flock of Seagulls. And it turns out that
Regina definitely does. That's what Regina was listening to.
Right, yeah. So Regina was listening to this. It's kind of cool. The music is playing really loud, and then it gets quiet, and you realize it's actually the music that Regina is listening to. Before class gets out, she's just cutting class, sitting in the hallway, listening to that song on her Walkman.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That she's not in class?
She was the only one not in class, almost like she was waiting there for him. And she's also sitting on a white wall with a red bold line behind her. So almost looks like
the thread.
Yeah, it's a red line and it's painted all the way. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like what Jonas was following to see her. She kind of right away looks right at Jonas and then looks away, waiting, almost knowing that he was going to ask her about that.
So do you think she knows, or do you think it's more that her mom set her up to be in, like the Claudia setting her up?
Someone set her up to be there, whether it was Claudia or, yeah, I would assume Claudia, but mm-hmm. someone, like most Tiedemanns, they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
She was set up there, you know, again, it's like, in the past, Regina is a complete loser, has nothing really, you know, like the girl comes up to her when they get out of class, like as the classes come out, the girl like bumps into her, is like, get out of the way, loser.
Yep.
And then earlier in the season, they mention how the Tiedemanns, I think it's Hannah who's talking about it, talks about how the Tiedemanns have absolutely everything they could ever want, why they have everything, while Hannah talks about how she can't even pay her electric bill. She has nothing. While she talks about, and this may happen later, but I'm pretty sure it happened earlier. She says how some people have nothing and other people have everything, and why everything's always worked out for the Tiedemanns. And they, you know,
I think that happens. I don't remember that happening, so I wonder if that happens in an episode or two.
Well, I definitely remember Hannah pointing it out at some point in the show.
Yeah, I feel like we would have pointed
not having
that out.
Anything.
Yeah,
and the point is that you know that when Claudia comes back at one point, she talks about the addition on the Tiedemann's house. So a lot of, you know, what Alexander seems to, or Boris seems to be doing, you know, maybe goes back to even setting up Regina in the '80s. I'm just saying, I think Regina could be getting set up.
Interesting. I really like that observation that there was the red line behind her, like the thread. I didn't pick up on that. And I'm usually like looking for those clues like that. So Jonas and Regina talk. He asks where Michael is. She says she has no idea where Michael is. But
she says she never heard of him.
Yeah. Or yeah. She hasn't heard of Michael. And he asks, you know, he says Michael Conwald, and she says she knows who Enos Conwald is and that she works at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so then Jonas, after people start leaving the school or leaving class in the school, then Jonas leaves and is heading eventually towards the hospital. So, and as Jonas is walking we're going to stay with Jonas. As Jonas is walking on, is that the forest road or is that the state? That's the state road he's walking on, correct?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did pick up that, you know, you brought this up to me. I think this was after we stopped recording, that there is the state road and the forest road, and you're paying a lot of attention. And I didn't really realize that there were like two main roads. And they look so similar to me is what's hard. So I don't know which is the, I don't know, is the forest road like where, what leads to like the cabin, like the more dirt road, is that the forest road? Or is the forest road just like a road that's more covered in trees than the state road?
Yeah, I'll have to look. I'm not sure at this point.
Because I'm just thinking about some of the scenes that we see, like the bus stop, for example. Is that the forest road or is that the state road? We know there's a big deal made of, you know, did Helge take the forest road back instead of the state road? Or
no, he took the state road back instead of the forest road.
Yeah. I just wish they could just write like state road or forest road on there so we would know. So it'd be more clear. there's already so much other stuff to track. You're making us track roads as well. So, but yes, so Jonas is walking in the rain. He's got his hood up. And he is passed by Egon, who Egon has been visiting the power plant, and we will talk about some of that in a little bit. But I did note that Jonas, with his hood up, he looks like the stranger in this scene.
Kind of everybody with their hood up looks like the stranger.
That's true. Yeah, I guess Helge looks like the stranger as well. But I'm just like am noticing that like Jonas is becoming more and more like the stranger as more time passes. He's becoming his future self. This was really interesting. So Egon, you know, wants to know why Jonas isn't in school and then offers to give him a ride. This is where I started noticing the color green versus the color yellow. And, I noticed that, you know, Egon's car is green. Also once Egon gets Jonas to the hospital, Mikkel is wearing a green jacket. Mm-hmm. And, so that's where my, you know, I know I've talked about yellow and what does it represent? Like, could it be that yellow, and you've talked about maybe it's like a particular timeline, but is it just that yellow represents 2019 and green represents the 80s and some of these different colors represent different time frames? Because we have Egon and Mikkel both in green and Jonas is the only one in this bright yellow in this timeline.
The stranger was in green too.
Yeah, and the stranger's in green as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it could. I'm not sure.
Or maybe it's just different cycles. Maybe like this, you know, we aren't actually seeing loops. We're seeing different, you know, we're seeing this loop like keep progressing and changing slowly. And maybe that's what it represents. But there was definitely like an intentional theme of green for some of the characters versus the yellow for Jonas. And, you know, it might just be as simple as Jonas is sticking out because he doesn't belong in the 80s.
Yeah, maybe an outlier. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I don't know.
In the car between Egon and Jonas, we get some really interesting conversations. Egon is asking about Jonas's parents. Jonas says that his mother works at the power plant, which is like kind of true. She does sometimes work at the power plant. I don't think she full-time works there. She just goes there to give Boris a massage or Alexander a massage. Mm-hmm. And then Egon spots that I had totally forgotten this happens. Egon spots his Apple earphones.
Yeah.
So, good thing to happen on the episode where we get put onto Apple Podcasts, that we get Apple product placement, we get those earphones.
Very appropriate.
Yes. And Jonas is explaining the headphones to Egon, and Egon is like, those are not earphones. And, you know, it definitely sticks out that he sees these futuristic headphones. It sort of reminded me of Mads with the Walkman. So, you know, we see Mads when he gets sent from the 80s to 2019. He has the Walkman and like the 80s style headphones. Mm-hmm. And this time we're seeing Jonas with the current style headphones and he's in the 80s.
Yeah. Kind of a mirror a little mm-hmm. bit.
And then they're talking about the power plant and how it's changed Winden. And then Egon says that he's going to take a shortcut to take Jonas to the hospital. So you said you paid a lot of attention to Crossroads. Did you think anything of the shortcut?
It's the same road that Ulrich turns down later when he's looking for when he eventually finds Helge. Like it's, I think that's Forest Road.
Okay, so is Helge? So Helge's in that like nursing home. Did that nursing home take over the hospital, or does that hospital is still there in 2019? Correct.
I think so.
Okay. I just didn't know if maybe the hospital became the nursing home later.
Maybe.
You know, 3 years later.
I mean, maybe, but I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it's just a different place.
Yeah. It is a form of a hospital. So that's kind of interesting, too. I didn't really put together the nursing home versus the hospital as kind of mirroring each other in the two timelines. All right. And then we've got Egon and Jonas arriving at the hospital. And before Jonas can get out, Egon asks him about Satanism and asks if Satanism is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So here we've got more faith versus science. And he's obviously asking about that because of Ulrich and the terrible heavy metal music he was listening to.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of, I thought that was interesting. Right before this, Daniel Cronwald, who's the police chief at this point, who's like Egon's boss, he's the guy mm-hmm. who comes in, he had said how like Egon needs to stop going off hunches because this is in the 50s,
right? Yeah,
so like just thought that was a kind of
so that was Daniel that was Daniel Cronwald.
Yeah, that's a Cronwald.
So is he Innes's like brother?
I don't know. I mean, I think with relation to Jonas, it's like Jonas's grandfather.
Okay.
I think so, but yeah, I don't know who he is, but I know he's a Cronwald. So
yeah, because I noticed that guy, and I noticed that he was new. I had written down that his name was Martin because I thought that they called him Martin at some point.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Daniel, but I mean, we'll know more about him in season two.
Okay,
but like the big role I remember him ends up playing is he's like corrupting Egon into cheating on his wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it kind of, which makes
I don't remember that from season two very well. So that would
It's what ends up leading Egon to Hannah in a way. So, which mirrors Ulrich cheating on his wife with Hannah and Egon and Ulrich mirroring each other eventually.
But this guy was young, right? This Martin guy.
But he was still his boss. He's like his new boss.
And, okay.
Yeah. And he's like, you have 3 months till retirement.
Right. Yeah. See, I thought that he was like the new young buck who's taking over when Egon retires.
Pretty sure he's the new police chief.
Yeah. Okay. Because we haven't seen him at all, so he's a new character. So I definitely thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. And then just to kind of wrap up some of the stuff with Jonas before we jump to some other people in the 80s. So Jonas then goes and he's looking for Enos, and he's in the hospital. And this is where he spots Mikkel and then spots Hannah. Hannah's in orange, Mikkel's mm-hmm. in green.
Mm-hmm.
And they share a Raider bar together.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually what I was going to say to start this episode. I was going to say the one half to my Raider bar, to the other half of my Raider bar.
Ah, the right Raider bar.
Yeah. So they're sharing a Raider bar. And Jonas starts to put together what he's seeing, that he's seeing his father and his mother and that they're starting to bond, much like Marty McFly sees when he goes back to the past in Back to the Future. And then he goes outside. He's watching Innes and Mikkel talk, and he's about to go talk to himself, and the stranger comes up behind him out of nowhere.
He's about to talk to Mikkel.
Right, yes, he's about to go talk to Mikkel. And the stranger talks to Jonas, and he says, you know, if you take him back, you're going to erase your existence. And it just really kind of lays out the stakes here that that if Mikkel does not stay in the 80s, then Jonas can't be born, which really would create a paradox because if Jonas was never born, there's no way he could have taken Mikkel back from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. So, bootstrap paradox.
Yep. And I did think a lot about kind of what you were saying, how Jonas is going to eventually need to be the one to sever himself out of this timeline, that this is the stranger stopping him from doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think like this really does like definitely confirm he's Jonas. Cause like when Jonas is like, yeah, I'm going to do it, like he stops him, like he's saving himself.
Right. Oh yeah. I agree.
I mean, like I just don't think there's any way this is secretly someone else.
No, you know? I don't think so. I don't think that would be a good twist if they ended season three. Like the Adam twist would be one thing, but I think changing the stranger to say the stranger isn't Jonas would be very misleading and would feel like it's jumping the shark.
Yeah. So like, I mean, he definitely like looks right at him. He's just like, and ends up convincing him because he doesn't do it or he can't do it. So
like, right. Yes. Way. It depends on if you believe in fate or free will, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought there were a couple other interesting things that the stranger said to Jonas. He says, if you take him back, you'll erase your existence. You play a much bigger role in this than you think. And the other thing that I thought was super interesting is he said, a decision for something is a decision against something else.
Yep, a life for a life, he said at one point.
And a life for a life. So we haven't really gotten a payoff to this whole decision for something is a decision against something else. But that really seems like that's like a cause and effect. And then, potentially alternate universe type line.
Yeah, and Jonas does ask if he's crazy like his father, and he says neither of them were crazy.
Yep.
And sometimes it's hard to grasp what goes against us, grasp the grains that goes against us, I think is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
What else? He compares it to when people first found out the Earth was round.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing to say as well. Is that just supposed to be like a paradigm shift, or is there more to it than that?
I mean, maybe that, or maybe it's really shaping that how much of what his information is coming from HG, a scientist, maybe.
Mm. I don't know. Because we did see him visit HG a few episodes ago, and we never saw what they talked about.
Yeah, so. And then the big revelation, which this one to me ends up being the one that's like the Mikko Michael thing for me, is that Jonas realizes Ulrich is his uncle, or Ulrich is his grandfather, therefore Martha is his aunt.
Yep.
And that one to me is the one that has always stuck with me as like, because it comes up again later when, you know, the stranger confronts Jonas about Martha, but it's like this, the power of love, to borrow a little bit of a, you know, Back to the Future reference.
Right.
It seems to be the power that really dictates people's decisions in this show.
Yeah, that's interesting because it really makes it a tougher decision for Jonas, because if he's deciding not to take Mikkel back, then he's accepting that Martha is his aunt and they can't be together or shouldn't be together.
And one of the things the stranger brings up is if Jonas takes him back, Mikkel will never fall in love or have Jonas. So makes me wonder if those two things are two different people that end up a result.
Like maybe the stranger and Jonas are two different people?
I'm saying that Mikkel may fall in love with one person and have Jonas with another person.
Oh, I see.
He doesn't say fall in love and have Jonas. It says fall in love or have Jonas.
So you think maybe that there is somebody else that Mikkel falls in love with?
Yes. Someone else from another time. I don't know. Yeah.
That's interesting too, because I've always thought that it's weird that like, yeah, Mikkel and Hannah get together, but it's just like that they were together for 30 years. Like, what is there to base a 30-year relationship on between them?
Yeah.
Was Hannah cheating with Ulrich before Michael killed himself?
Right, exactly.
I guess maybe we get some of that when we see the episode that takes place the day before Michael kills himself, because there is the big anniversary party for Katarina and Ulrich in that episode.
Yeah, I don't remember that too well, so we'll come to that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to some of that stuff that I'm less familiar with.
Yeah, and then the stranger, like one last thing I noticed, he says the role that he plays in all this is much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Do you think that's just Adam, or do you think there's more to it than that?
I mean, he is most likely the reason for the beginning and end of the time travel in this show. So, I mean, when he starts the wormhole at the end, he thinks he's finishing it, but he's starting it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think what's interesting is we have three versions of Jonas, right? We have teenage Jonas, we have the stranger, and we have Adam. Yep. And we have three versions of other characters as well. We have three versions of Ulrich. We have teenage Ulrich, we have adult Ulrich, and then we're going to have gray-haired Ulrich that we meet in season two. Mm-hmm. And what other characters do we have three versions of? We have three versions of Helge. We have child Helge, we have gray-haired Helge, and then old man Helge.
Claudia,
we have the three versions of her. So Trante. I wonder if we – do we ever get more than three versions of anybody?
Not that we know of.
Yeah, and threes are so important in this show. Maybe it's – you know, you get the three versions, but the people who we haven't gotten three versions of, like Magnus, for example. We only have two versions of Magnus right now. So mm-hmm. do we need to get three versions of every character in order to unlock the final end game for this show?
So what about someone like Peter who has one?
So I have a theory on Peter as well, and I want to get to that mm-hmm. When we start talking about him, because there was something about Peter I did not pick up until this episode. So
okay.
That was just a tease for people to keep listening. All right, so Jonas ends up, you know, deciding that he is not going to intervene. He's going to let Mikkel stay there. He's going to sacrifice in order to save his own existence, and he goes back to 2019, and we'll just kind of close out him, even though we were saying in the past. He goes back, he talks to Hannah about Mikkel, and I guess at this point Jonas sees them before he goes back. He sees Hannah and Mikkel one more time, and that's when they're sharing the Raider bar. Or was that okay? Because I have that in my notes after. I thought that came before.
No, he was with Enos before.
Oh, okay. So then he goes back. I don't think he does anything else in the 80s before he goes back. He makes the lights flicker. That's when Jonas talks to Hannah and asks her if she believes in fate, mm-hmm. and tells her that he really thinks that that Michael loved her and gives her a hug. She doesn't really seem to reciprocate the hug, but she mm-hmm. also might just be kind of startled because she was woken up by him just sitting in her room. Sitting on her bed. Doesn't seem too concerned with that he's been missing for a few days either.
No.
She has too much else going on. And then we see Jonas burn the letter. Of course, this is a very old version of the letter. There's a newer version of the letter that Enos has that's going to get passed around. But the end result for this letter will be Jonas burning it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So other things from the 80s. So we talked a little bit about Egon, but we're seeing Egon investigating Mads's disappearance. We have him visited by either Daniel or Martin. And he says, this isn't the 50s. You can't base your research on a hunch. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice tease for the 50s because, of course, we are going to get the 50s. I think in the next episode we get the 50s. Ulrich goes to the 50s in the next episode. Then we see Egon going to the power plant. He interviews Helge, and he asks about some of the information from the night that Mads disappeared. They set a date to talk Tuesday at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very interested in why he took the state road home and not the forest road.
He said he had to pick something up for his father.
Yes. And his father, of course, is Trante. Right?
Burned,
right.
Yes.
Trante is Ulrich's father. Yes. For Burned. Burned, who's in the wheelchair. We have not seen much of Burned. I believe we will see more of Burned in the next episode when we get to Child Helge. And it's interesting the way that they cut this too, because they cut it with Ulrich looking at that police journal at the same time. And so it kind of really aligns with, he's like putting the case together and he's like, well, why didn't he ever show up for his police interview? Now, is that because old Helge goes back in time and crashes his car into middle-aged Helge? And that's why he can't go to his police interview, or does he just never go to the police interview at all?
I think he just ends up flaking on it.
Okay. Because it's the day after, they said the day after tomorrow.
The day after, yeah.
So we're watching November 9th, so that's November 11th. That is the date that he's supposed to have gone to that.
Yeah, because I think so, because Egon ends up going to the cabin to look for Helge, and Helge does like that really crappy job of hiding it. It still works.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that he just flakes on it.
Okay. Yeah, this is the first episode that we've watched that like really made my brain hurt trying to like put things together. I had to do a lot of pausing. It took me a very long time to get through this episode just because there is like so much going on, and there's so many, there's like the two different timelines, but they're very similar in what you're seeing. You're seeing things repeat. So, makes recapping it very fun.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So then, this is when Jonas is picked up by Egon. So we already talked about that. And I don't know, do we see any more of Egon in this episode after? I mean, we see him checking in on Ulrich a couple times. Ulrich is just hanging out in the jail cell.
We see Egon.
He meets with Katarina. That was the other thing that happens in this as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and we also see him when the lights are flickering towards the end of the episode when Jonas is coming back. We see him at his desk with a bottle of vodka.
Yep. Yep. So we know he's a drunk. So he's starting to, and is he starting to drink now, or was he already a drunk before this?
It seems like if you have a bottle at your desk, you've already been a drunk.
That's true.
Like that's it. So maybe with everybody thinking he didn't know for a long time that he was drunk.
That could be,
since perception is so important to people in Winden.
So the scene between Egon and Katarina, he's asking her about being raped, and she says, you know, she's denying it. She says that there was no rape, and they talk about how somebody made a report, and he says, you know, you can tell me, you can admit to it. He's really pushing her. She will not admit to it because she wasn't actually raped. Mm-hmm. But what doesn't help her cause is that her face is all bruised up. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember ever finding out what happened to her face.
She tells in the next episode.
Oh, she does. Okay.
It's just her parents.
Her parents. Okay. Because later in the episode, she says to Ulrich that she thought she was the one with a terrible family. Or the family full of assholes. So I assumed that must be that her parents had hit her.
Yeah, no, she's like, I think when they're beating up Regina, blaming her, they're like, look what my father did to me.
Oh, okay. So. Great. Okay, so we'll see that. Well, not great, but we'll see that in the next episode. All right, so that's it for Egon in this episode. We still don't see any Claudia. We do see Regina. And then the only other thing in the 80s that we see a little bit of Helge. He meets with Egon. We see him as a kid in the 80s. He's time traveled, I think, as a kid with his head all bashed in, which we will see how that happens very soon. And then we see whatever time that is at the end of the episode that we mentioned, where we see Helge leave with a child. He's pulling a child out of the bunker, and Noah is cleaning the bunker. Do we know which boy that is that Helge is with?
I couldn't tell.
Okay. I wondered if it was Yazin. That's the only one I could think of, but...
I think it was.
I mean, it wasn't Eric, because the kid didn't have bright orange hair.
No.
So, and Noah is cleaning that bunker kind of dramatically. He's, like, looking up at the sky and flexing, and...
That tattoo had to take a long time.
Like, in real life or when they're making the show?
Both.
Yeah.
But, like, especially, like, if he really was doing that, like, Noah seems like a really busy guy, so for him to have all this time to get a big back tattoo done, I mean...
Well, he's a time...
That looks like... Well, I just wonder, you know, what time period he got that done in. It looks like pretty modern work. Doesn't look like it was done by, like, a hammer and sickle and the... I don't know.
That's true, but don't we see him with that tattoo? The beginning of the second season, we see Noah, like in the caves as, like, a young child or, like, a teenager. Well, that's how we open season two, and I'm pretty sure he has the tattoo when he's that age. Now, it could be that he traveled in time back to, I think it's the 20s, from wherever he's from.
Yeah, it's not that important, but I just thought it was really making him look like he was a devil, like he was Satan.
Definitely, yeah. And we get mention of Satanism. He's the priest, but he's the bad priest, obviously. Of course, Mikkel takes the picture of that tattoo, which for some reason that tattoo, the image from that is in the hospital.
Yep.
And Mikkel seems interested in it, so Mikkel takes it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what else we see from that in the next two seasons, but it's interesting. I mean, maybe it's just that this image has been here for a very long time. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then let's jump forward to 2019. So we've covered a lot of the stuff that already happens, but of course, we're seeing some investigations into, seems like they're still more interested in Mikkel disappearing. You don't hear people talk about Yazin that much, I don't feel like. No. Or just about Mikkel being gone.
No, but I do think that Yazin was selected for a specific reason.
Oh, really?
Because, at one point when they do find Yazin, they talk about how he's Mediterranean or Middle Eastern, which was very unusual in the 50s for them. So I think it's just, I think that Eric was chosen on for a reason with the red hair, because that is, they point out noticing that and how that really sticks out. And I think Yazin being of a different race is very, very important for trying to make it stick out to the people in the 50s that something is going on in the future.
Oh, interesting. So like, yeah, because we do the find the
changes the past.
We do find their both their bodies at the beginning of the next episode, I think, right? In the 50s.
Yeah.
That's what we
Yeah, I think so. And they talk about their clothes being made in China. Another unusual thing, I'm assuming, for the 50s.
Yep.
And just I think that the idea is almost that Noah and is trying, whoever's sending these dead children back through time is actually doing the opposite and trying to help, not hurt. So they're trying to warn people. And this, like, you know, because even early on, Byrne talks about how when the bodies show up at the power plant, I think maybe in the next episode. So, but Byrne talks about how right away he's blaming the coal plant people for children showing up at the site right as they're breaking ground for the new power plant.
Right. I do remember. Yep. I remember them having.
So it's just like, you know, in Byrne's view, he's like a businessman. He's trying to get a power plant built, but maybe that the people who are trying to stop it aren't trying to stop it for business reasons, but because what the power plant ends up creating is the wormhole that destroys the world.
Yeah, and I do remember the beginning of the next episode is really interesting because we get the two kids showing up. Yeah. And you think that it's 2019, and then they pull the camera back and you see that it's like the place where they're building the power plant, but it's not.
Yeah, and like, yeah, so we'll talk about a lot of that next episode. But
yeah, definitely. I'm excited to get to that episode. I think a lot happens in that one. All right, so we've got Charlotte, we've got Waller looking for the kids. They finally have a warrant for the nuclear power plant. And let's stick with what Charlotte does. So we see Charlotte going to the plant. She sees that road with the tire marks going down it, and she follows that to where the gate is, and that gate is where the nuclear waste was stored before Eric's dad, I believe, he's the one who moves the nuclear waste out of the power plant. Early on in the season. It's funny, we just watched that and I'm already like, so much has happened, it's tough to keep everything straight. And so Charlotte is starting to piece together that this forest road, there's something going on there, and Waller brings to her some information that the map that shows that their cabin, that Charlotte's family's cabin, Helge's cabin, is on that road with the caves going under it. So she goes to the caves. When she's at the cabin, when she's at the caves, first of all, she finds yellow paint at the caves. And that's when I wondered about yellow indicating 2019. That followed by the Jonas looking at Innes in his bright yellow jacket made me think about yellow being an indication of like a certain time period. Charlotte, what she finds is a red door though. And after that is when Waller brings her the information, about the cabin.
Yep.
So,
and then never tells Waller anything. And, also, Charlotte, as she's investigating the cabin, she calls Peter to ask about when he came to Winden in 1987.
Yeah, so this was really interesting. I guess I had forgotten about this, but and I always thought it was weird that Helge even had a kid because he doesn't seem like he's fully with it. So Peter is not his biological child.
Oh, is he adopted?
He must be adopted because if he didn't come to Winden until 1987, I mean, you know, Peter is definitely older than 30 years old in this show. So it's not like he was born in 1987.
Right.
So he says he came to Winden in 1987. It was after Helge's accident.
Which was on November 12th, 86.
Okay. So the accident was after he was supposed to meet with Egon. Yep. And, you know, of course, we will see that accident in the finale, I believe, in episode 10, maybe episode 9. And that accident, you know, I think you're led to believe that accident is what causes his ear to be disfigured. But of course, that happens earlier. The accident is actually his older self trying to stop his younger self. But of course, his older self is just causing what happens to his younger self.
Closing the loop.
Yeah. So I'm really curious where Peter is from. Like, who is Peter? Mm-hmm. If we don't know who Peter's parents were, Peter must be more involved. He's not actually Helge's son. So, I mean, you can look at the character chart and maybe you can try to place Helge somewhere, or try to place Peter somewhere. Because we also don't know, you know, who Helge was married to. It doesn't seem like there was like another counterpart in terms of Peter's parentage. Peter seriously, you know, seems like he has his own issues also. So,
yeah.
I would think Peter's, who Peter is something we're going to get a lot more of in season 3. So, all right.
The last thing I just noticed with Charlotte is when she's investigating the bunker, she looks underneath the bench and finds wallpaper.
Yep.
The wallpaper.
Yeah, she finds a little bit of the blue wallpaper with foxes on it. Of course, her daughter, Elizabeth, who we have not seen in this episode, except in a picture, has that fox hat that she wears a lot. So it seems like the fox, whether it's just a motif, it's definitely connected.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's down there, she's down in the bunker when people are traveling in time, which leads to her flashlight flickering. Leads to everybody's lights flickering, except Jonas's fancy futuristic flashlight does not flicker with time travel. So that's definitely why he has that weird futuristic flashlight. It's not just for look, but it's because it's not affected by the time change.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because she's in the bunker, she is unable to get Ulrich's phone call. And he calls her with information and about his theory as he's about to go into the caves.
Yeah, and every time that he brings up Helge, Charlotte always goes right to defending Helge and saying there's he couldn't do it and all this, and you know, so it kind of is similar to how people viewed maybe Egon with Ulrich is how Ulrich is viewing with Helge. Like every single thing that happens, he's looking at Helge as the reason why. And for someone with like out the information that Ulrich has, it looks like he just has this out for Helge.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's, talking about repeating past trauma, I think that's a really interesting reflection of that.
Yeah, because, even Ulrich even brings up how they did everything wrong back with his brother. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, things are going on right now that don't make any sense. And then he gets suspended.
Yeah.
So it's like similar type of thing where.
He's right. Yeah. No. It's interesting because it's not exactly the same. It's kind of a reflection. It's instead of the older man blaming the teenager, it's the older man blaming the even older person. And so much so that he's going to think when he ends up in the 50s, he's going to think that he has to stop Helge as a child, and that's what leads. You know, he really just sets Helge on the course
which is what Egon kind of thinks, that he has to stop Ulrich as a teenager.
Right. Exactly. And sets Ulrich on the course. So all of these people are setting other people on the course. I'm just looking to see if there's anything else really with Ulrich. We've covered a lot of Ulrich. He's obviously following Helge. I thought one interesting thing is he goes to Helge's nursing home room. Now, I don't know. I guess maybe they just haven't interacted much, even though it's a small town. But he wakes Ulrich up, or Ulrich wakes Helge up, and it was one of those situations where Helge like immediately recognizes that face, and whether it's because he has dementia or from the time travel or that he's like just waking up from a dream, but he's so clued in that this was the person who hurt him when he was a child.
Well, he has dementia, but he also at one point goes, I know you. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking at the face of like a demon essentially that ruined his life as a child. That's exactly what he's saying. So like it makes sense that the visual recognition would kind of click in late, and then eventually the wheels would kind of spin enough for him to just know.
Mm-hmm. Especially right when he wakes up too, because you're just in kind of a different mental state right when you wake up. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing that you see, and you know, all of his vitals are going through the roof, and but it does clue him in enough to say, oh, I can change it. So whatever it is that he just remembered, you know, this clicks in that, you know, he knows exactly where to go in the caves, where the light is, how to time travel. So he goes to the cave. Ulrich follows him. You know, before then, Ulrich gets suspended, and he goes home and he has that interesting conversation with Katarina as well. And
yeah,
she tells him that, you know, he hasn't been here in a long time. Were you ever happy? Mm-hmm. And
says he's wanted out of Winden.
Yes. Brings up that he's always wanted out of Winden, but he stayed. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe he blames him staying in Winden for, you know, when he got arrested as a teenager, he couldn't leave Winden because of that. And that's what kept him there. And then she finally confronts him about Hannah as well and says, I know about you and Hannah. So, an interesting line that Katarina says, I've known all along, I just didn't want to see it. And mm-hmm. I think you could apply that line to a lot of characters in this show.
Definitely, yeah.
So
there's lots of talks about truth in the stories we tell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right. And then, I think finally, you know, we're seeing Ulrich start to drive, and he's right by the forest road, right at that intersection, which you brought up earlier. Mm-hmm. He sees the yellow piece from Mikkel's. I wasn't sure what it was, but then they played the audio from Mikkel's magic trick, and that's how mm-hmm. you knew that's what that was. And the key to the magic trick isn't how I did it, it's when I did it. And that's when he turns down the forest road, goes back towards the nursing home to see Helge, and somehow just gets in without anybody, any security or any
problems. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I know he gets away easy. The doors are unlocked. It's the show.
Yeah. And he could just show that he's a cop also. He probably could just say he's a cop. They wouldn't know he's suspended.
Yeah.
Goes into the room and Helge is gone, but he does see, he sees the red thread with the coin on it, which is from the kids getting sent back in time. Obviously it's what when they found Mads's body, it had one of those coins on a red string. He also sees the little wooden toy figurine that is what he lured Yazian with when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And the HG book, which a guy with dementia is probably not reading the HG book.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it would stick out if this is just like a normal guy.
Yeah.
So then he follows Helge into the caves, and he calls Charlotte, tells her that he believes that the kids have been taken in the 80s, and mm-hmm. Lays out a theory, which I'm sure is going to seem very off the wall, but mm-hmm. will lead her to start investigating things in the 80s. So, and then we do not see him go through the caves. I thought we did see that at the end of this episode, but we don't. We will see that in the next episode when Helge goes through one side, Helge ends up in the 80s, and Ulrich goes through the other side, and Ulrich ends up in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was a great episode to tie together a couple different plot lines, a couple different timelines, and you know, we're really kind of barreling towards the end of season one with some interesting stuff that's about to happen. We're about to see Helge get attacked by Ulrich. We're going to get introduced to the 50s and some of the ancestry characters in the 50s, like Agnes, mm-hmm. and Doris, who's Claudia's mother. Egon's wife. So I think we do get some of them, and we get to go back to another timeline in the next episode.
Hey.
There we go. Anything else that you noticed in this that we didn't cover between all of these characters? I don't think we saw we didn't see Martha or Magnus or anybody like that.
No, just you know, note that Helge busts out a radar bar before he starts driving out of his glove box, so it was probably melty. But
that's
maybe
true.
It's cooler at that point. And yeah. Also next to it was one of those pine cone figures again. Those pine cone things, he's really obsessed with those things.
Oh, I didn't notice the pine cone thing. Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely there was a radar bar and a pine cone in his glove box. So definitely I noticed that. So
yeah, those radar bars are very popular in 1980s.
Yeah.
It does kind of make me want a Twix. It's a good Twix ad.
They're not bad. They're okay.
Twix, yeah. Peanut butter Twix are better, but I don't even know if they make peanut butter Twix anymore.
Nah, I don't. I'm not a big fan of peanut butter Twix. My MVP mm-hmm. of this episode, I'll give it to the stranger.
Stranger,
just because
that means you're giving it to him.
Without him, we wouldn't be here today.
Okay.
Because if he would have not stopped Jonas, we wouldn't have any of Dark.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll give it to him. Without him, we wouldn't be here.
All right. So Jonas takes a commanding 3 MVP lead. I am going to give Charlotte her first MVP. She's finally starting to clue things together. She is much like Katarina. She has seen it this whole time, but didn't want to believe it, that there is something going on with Peter and there's something going on with his father, Helge. And so if it wasn't for her, we would not have gotten this investigation moving forward. Now we'll see how she reacts to getting this information from Ulrich. So I don't know if she's going to believe him. I'm kind of surprised Ulrich only has 1 MVP point. I would have thought he'd had more than that by now, but soon.
Yeah. Soon.
Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe the next episode. All right. So Jonas now with 3 MVP points, Mikkel with 2, Ulrich, Tronte, Alexander, Egon, Elizabeth, Hannah, and Charlotte all have 1. So, 3 with Jonas. He's got your lucky number 3.
Yeah, I also have 333 Instagram followers right now and 66 posts.
I don't think can post anymore, and you need to block anybody.
It's just very, very weird. I noticed.
Mm. And this was episode 6 also. What was episode 3? Was there was episode 3 the first one with the 80s?
I think so.
Episode 3 was episode 3 was when Mikkel arrives in the 80s. Episode 6 mm-hmm. is Jonas in the 80s. So we'll have to see how that ties in with episode 9. Mm-hmm. Episode 9 is I don't remember, but we'll find out. It's hard to remember what happens in each episode, right? So
this is a show that's easier to talk about when more happens, though. I found this episode way easier to talk about than last episode.
Yeah, that's true. It's fun to like to look at what we still don't have information about, you know, who we don't have. Like, we don't know anything about Katarina's parents. At least I don't have anything written down about them on my character chart. You said that we're probably going to find out more about them in the next episode or the one after that. So that will be helpful to learn more about her parents, and maybe we can slot them in somewhere. They aren't good people, obviously, because they're beating her, but maybe they're, who knows? Maybe mm-hmm. her parent is Bartos, or maybe her father is Magnus. Who knows?
Maybe her mom's Hannah.
Oh, that would be wild.
Hannah is Katarina's mom and cheating on Katarina with her husband. Your mom's sleeping with your husband.
You know what? So we do know that Hannah goes back and at the end of season 2 is with Egon. Mm-hmm. And so the timing would work out that Katarina.
Yeah, and we know that the younger Conwald was Egon's boss. So maybe she starts out sleeping with Egon and then goes over to Conwald.
Wow.
I don't know.
That could be, yeah. I have Hannah and Katarina right next to each other on my character chart, and they could be even more connected than I already thought.
Yeah, it's like mom was bringing daughter a lasagna when she didn't feel good.
Mm. Yeah, it would put a whole new spin on everything and just make that whole relationship very weird. It's like it needs to be a little weirder. Right, yes. Poor Jonas finding out that he's in love with his aunt.
Yeah, and this doesn't have much to do with anything, but I'll just throw this in at the end. Magnus and Martha, they don't look anything alike. They aren't even close to looking related. They look like they're so far not related in a show where everybody fits together and looks right together. Magnus doesn't look like he's related to Mikkel or to Martha. So I don't know what that means. Maybe he's just got the recessive blonde gene, a recessive super, super tall, pale gene.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look like he's related to any of those people.
Hmm.
I don't know what that's about, but
Martha looks more like Bartos than she does Magnus.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Magnus has had not a very big role so far. I feel like something has to happen with Magnus. He's not just a big dummy. So
that's really what he plays. Like, he's like the big dummy in this, and then he's going to be like Noah's bodyguard or his number 2.
Yeah,
Adam's number 2.
Yeah, I think Francesca. You know, Magnus, these people are going to shine in season 3.
Yeah. We still don't have an Eve, also. We have Adam. There has to be an Eve.
Maybe Magnus is Eve.
Magnus is Eve, yes. Or Steve.
Isn't Gretchen Eve?
The dog? Greta?
No, Gretchen, the dog. She was the first time traveler.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
Gretchen.
I forgot about Gretchen. Yeah,
I think she's in the next episode as well.
Yeah, that's Regina's or Claudia's dog, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who Claudia sees run through the cave at one point and really makes Claudia understand something's going on here. Anyways,
yeah. We'll find out. You know, just to tie it even more to Back to the Future, Einstein the dog was the first time traveler in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Gretchen and Einstein kind of look similar.
Oh, one small line that we didn't mention. When Ulrich is asking the coroner about Mads's body and asks how long the body had been dead, the coroner says 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it puts to rest like a theory that could be that like, oh, the body might have just been frozen in the 80s. And she says frozen steak is not the same as fresh steak.
Absolutely the truth. Right now at the grocery store, there's a lot of steak on sale, but it says right on the label previously frozen, and I'm not touching any of that shit.
Yeah, especially when it's
I need my steak 10 hours older.
10 hours younger. Old. Yeah. Frozen Twix, though, / frozen Raider bars, though. That's a good way to eat those.
No, it isn't.
Well.
No, it doesn't work.
Better than out of a glove box.
Yes, that's fair.
Okay.
Have a glove box next to your pine cone.
Yeah. I'm surprised they gave Helge a license to drive. But, oh well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes. So probably tomorrow we will be talking about episode number 7. Which is titled
episode number eight, right?
Oh, right. This was episode 7. Yes. Episode number eight. This was episode 7? All right. Never mind. So that whole thing I was talking about episode 6, six versus episode 3. Never mind. You can throw that all out the window because I have them in my notes.
As the editor, you also can throw that out the window.
No, that's way too much work. This was episode number 7. I believe I said 7 most of the time, but then in my notes I had 6 written down, and I was like, oh yes.
I just kind of let you go on.
Yeah, episode 6 is when Jonas goes back, and episode 3 is when Mikkel goes back. Nope. Yeah, throw that out the window. That makes more sense. The word episode 7. If I said episode 6 a bunch of times in this episode, sorry, this was episode 7. The next episode is episode number 8, of course, in an infinity sign. So, as you sow, so shall you reap is the name of the next episode, which that phrase really could be, you know, if you think about it as an infinity sign, as a circle, as you reap, so shall you sow is really what you could call that as well. So,
I guess
we're going to get the 50s. We're going to get Ulrich in the 50s. Gonna be a lot of fun. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream, as they say. So
that is what they say.
Yes. More Back to the Future, going to the 50s. All right, so you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Brooks ZA,
and I am at Aaron JAY Brooks.
Yes. Let us know if you have any questions or feedback as we get closer to season 3 coming out. If you're rewatching and you're noticing things, I don't want to hear from you if you're telling me I said the wrong episode number. There's a lot of details to remember, and the episode number is the least important of all of them, I guess. So, and of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Digesting Dark. That's the best way to know when we have new episodes coming out. So subscribe. Tell your friends who are watching Dark that this is a great way to refresh before the new season comes out. And then once the new season comes out, we'll be able to help them break down each episode with the things that we see day by day. Probably one episode per day after June 27th to get through all of season 3 without getting spoiled. So, all right. As you sow, so shall you reap. We will see you with our next episode, Dark, episode number 8.
See ya.